Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Thanksgiving week.
How lonely to go. How lonely to go.
Oh, look at the lights on Michigan darling, Avenue.
How lonely to go.
I'm filled with the Christmas spirit. Aren't you? Why don't we do a traditional Christmas dance?
Goodbye, baby.
Yes, 6:10 in the morning. Welcome to show number 1035. Follow me on Twitter. And you're likely to get everything you want from Santa at Cochran Show. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Phone number 312-981-7200. That's the text line as well. Tomorrow we'll be at the Saturday Night Live Experience exhibit doing the show from there. Starting at 6, ending at 10. That's when the show's on. And it's the Saturday Night Live Experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. What is that, State and Kinsey?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning. I mean, we'll do the regular show, but we'll also do a lot of Saturday Night Live stuff.
That's going to be awesome, being at that weekend update.
Should be great.
Anchor desk, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Schaefer will be there with the original band.
Oh,
from 1975. So that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we have some Saturday Night Live cast members scheduled to appear. We also have John DeCoste will be there with Saturday Night Live Fun Facts.
Oh, cool.
We'll play some games.
Nice.
And we're going to steal some stuff.
Oh,
what?
Cool.
No, of course not. And we'll be live at the Weekend Update desk. Now, we still have tickets, Sandberg, to give away. We have tickets to give away. Let's give them spots. Give them away right now. Here's the deal. You have to have tickets to get in. We're only doing 50 people for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like a private viewing of the Saturday Night Live exhibit. A private tour, if you will.
Yeah, viewing is not. You know that
it's like
it's
a,
not good.
It's like we're alive still, so it's okay.
Yes, it's not a viewing. Okay. Yeah, it's your own private show, so you can see the show, and then you get to see the show. You get to see our show, and then you get to wander around and see the Saturday Night Live exhibit.
It's like a twofer.
It's a twofer.
Yeah. Do we need tickets?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to call it away.
Call
no, you don't need tickets. 312-981-7200. But the listeners, if you can go. Now, don't call. If people call and they go, oh, I want a contest. No. Only call if you can go.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. You don't have to stay for the whole show. You should, but you don't have to stay for the
whole
show.
We're not locking the doors again?
No. No, sometimes we do that during Hometown Voices. We'll lock you in.
These are highly coveted tickets, though, because I've had cousins say to me, can you get me in?
No!
And you know, that's exactly what I said.
You got a lot of cousins.
So sorry.
Can you imagine?
I know.
We let 50 of Andre's cousins in. The
oh
other 50 want to go.
That's the old, yeah, exactly. And that's without spouses.
Right. So caller, you guys decide. Whatever caller you want back there. Oh, I'm supposed to say a number? Caller 7-312-981-7200. That's where we'll begin. Dr. Kevin Most coming up later this hour. Talk about being smart this week during Thanksgiving week. You know, there's two words that America doesn't like. And I'm not talking about the words you're thinking of, Donald and Trump. I'm talking about portion size.
I thought you were going to say overeating.
That's kind of the same thing, right?
Portion size.
Portion
yeah.
size.
Yeah.
So those Flintstonian Thanksgiving Day portions, just know if you have them, don't eat and then go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Mm. Eat and enjoy it. Or be smart and just eat some. You don't have to eat all.
Key to that is putting out some. A smaller plate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you feel like you're having more? You, like, fake yourself
right.
out?
Exactly. You fill a smaller plate.
Yeah, I don't think my family would go for
they'd
that.
They'd notice that?
My family would take six and then throw them at the end of the meal.
Going back?
Yeah, literally.
That's what the problem is now. Plates are a lot bigger, especially at restaurants. That's why people eat more.
People eat more because they have no discipline.
Yeah.
Well, it's all the plates. I believe in the
so they're eating the plate as well?
No.
Wow, people are
the plates
fat and
are
hungry.
So big they put more on them.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good point. Here's the deal. Be smart. Be smart. Or you could summarize it this way. Break your mother's heart. Eat less
oh, God.
This holiday
Again,
week.
Never fly at my family. Because remember, there's either something wrong with the food or something wrong with you, and it's never the food.
But you're in great shape. Why do you say that the Greek people eat till they don't stop?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you do then? Because you don't eat like that.
Well, I'll take
so you
a
lie.
Big plate,
you lie to your mother.
No,
you lie
I'll go
to your mother.
Back
you tell your mother I've already eaten three
I'll
times.
Take, I won't take six scoops of the sweet potatoes. Those are my favorite. I'll take one, but then I'll go back for another smaller scoop. So I'll eat, but then the next morning I won't eat anything.
I'm not a big believer in be very careful on Thanksgiving Day. Just eat a little. It's the one day a year everybody's a pig. Yeah. So, you know, if you choose to do that, that's fine. Now, Dave, what do you do on Thanksgiving? Do you run out of grass and things that you gnaw on?
I will have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, you will.
I will eat the same food that you're eating.
Well, hold on. Turkey?
Yes.
Stuffing?
Yes.
Gravy?
What?
I'm not a big gravy guy.
Mashed potatoes with the carbs.
Yeah, mashed potatoes?
I don't know if we're doing mashed potatoes this year. There's a
what do you mean
like
not
a
doing
corn
mashed potatoes? Kind of a commie are you?
Like a corn souffle thing.
Like a cornmeal thing?
Well, you could have both.
No mashed potatoes?
I don't. No, we're not big mashed potato people.
We're not?
How
you
about
talk to your
buns?
Children about this?
I don't know.
Are you having
I
Thanksgiving don't dinner with the kids?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you should give them mashed potatoes.
Okay, I'll get them some mashed potatoes.
Oh, here's one.
I appreciate it.
Here's one. Pumpkin
pie. I don't
pie
know why suddenly I'm the president of the Mashed Potato Council.
Yeah, do you indulge in dessert on Thanksgiving?
Okay, so we do an after party where we invite all, we kind of have an open house. Right? And you guys are invited, by the way. But there's no way you're coming. There's no way you're coming, but I know you like to be asked.
What are you, Prince? What do you mean you do an after party?
No, we after dinner, we just kind of, when people are on their way home from their Thanksgiving dinners, they come by for dessert.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. That's kind of a tradition.
What's a dessert?
Well, I can tell you that my wife and my daughters and my niece spent like the whole weekend.
Big bowl of beets?
Quinoa.
No,
quinoa.
No.
After dinner liqueur?
No, all kinds of desserts. I mean, they were baking like all day.
Okay.
There's all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
So now you're rethinking it.
Sandberg sent some pictures of 4,000 chocolate chip cookies and said she was just getting started.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is she bringing them to your open house? Was she invited?
Hey, you're all invited.
Yeah.
I mean, you
yeah
guys are all
we've
invited,
known you 20 like years, and I've never heard about this.
Be giving out Dave's address later for the drive-by. What are you doing, Mary?
I'm going to the North Woods to eat with my mother-in-law and some neighbors up there. Yeah. My kids will all be here, though. My husband and I are going to the North Woods.
A big Wisconsin Thanksgiving.
Wow. Well, it's not very big. There's usually only like five people. It's pretty.
Because that's the only
tiny
people that live up there?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's the
my
neighborhood.
Kids all used to go, but now they all have their significant others that they have to go to, and so it's very quiet.
Wouldn't you rather have Thanksgiving with your kids and your mother-in-law?
Well, okay. How am I going to? Okay, that's not putting me in a very good position.
You bring up a good point with the in-laws.
I can't leave her alone.
Do people nowadays, do you have to do both on Thanksgiving, or do you spread it out? Like Ross and Lauren.
Ross and Lauren, Ross and Lauren will be doing Thanksgiving with Lauren's parents, and then the next day on Friday, we're having a dinner.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
I think last year we flipped it. Every other year.
So now, it just seems like nowadays, instead of trying to do both in one day, it's spread out.
Yeah,
over either the next day or the next day.
Now, fortunately, in my case, my in-laws are dead,
so
that's helpful.
I love my mother-in-law because we always go shopping the next day.
I loved my mother-in-law, but she's still dead.
Oh, I know,
Steve. It's like,
well, she died. What are we going to tell you?
Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, Steve.
No, but that's what our kids do too. I mean, they're going to spend. They'll be with us Thursday, and then they'll do another Thanksgiving dinner with their spouse's family.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it works out.
Yeah, I remember doing that, where you have to eat twice.
And the Friendsgiving stuff is getting out of control. Can I just say that? My 21-year-old now is having a Friendsgiving. I'm like, come on.
Is Bennett coming to that?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know what he's doing.
You know,
he's probably
nice,
having
though?
It in my house, for all I know.
Nowadays, it used to be you go to one person's house, and that person, whoever hosts it, or the couple, makes everything. Like my cousin this year, everybody is bringing a dish. So she's doing the turkey.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the Greek lasagna. Yeah. Everyone's bringing a dish, which is helpful. It's nice. It takes some of the burden off the person having Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my mom's a really good cook. She won't let anyone bring anything.
She's so sweet.
No, she won't.
She does it all herself?
Well, my sisters help. Oh. And then I go in. I told you, here's the system, and this is mostly for men, but it could be for women as well. You go into the kitchen immediately when you get there, and you break something. you then immediately kicked out of the kitchen, and then you can watch football.
It never fails.
Yeah. Will you just go sit in the other room?
You're just in the way.
just sit in the other room. We'll bring you stuff.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I have been kicked out of the kitchen because I'm in the way.
Yeah, you're in the way.
Yeah.
You guys plan this, though. Now we know that you plan it. Yeah.
You better show up for dishes.
Break something. Oh, please.
No. Guy in our
break something or simply get in the way or something in between. Like you could go in and you could grab one of the food items they're making and go, what if we added all this salt to it or whatever? They'll kick you out.
Can I tell you a secret? We don't want you guys in the kitchen because that's our time to girl talk. That's our time to chit chat.
It's like gossip central. Kitchen is the best.
Yeah, when you guys come into
the kitchen. Is there any good stuff going on in there we should know?
Well, you don't want
to know.
Can't tell you.
We'd have to invite you back into the kitchen if we told you.
6:19, do the top six at 6 in just a moment, including the death of Charles Manson. Well, it's about time. Mm-hmm. After this, Mary with traffic, please.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Wondering what to get Coach John Fox for Christmas? How about 40 or 50 clocks? Just let him practice. With time running out on the Bears yesterday, once again, he let time expire, or almost completely expire, as did the players on the field, before calling key timeout. So much so that Tom Brenneman calling the game on Fox mocked him and had to call himself out. Brenneman at one point said, because I know you're at the game, Brenneman at one point said, they got to call a timeout here. Hey, look, I'm not the coach, but they need to call a timeout here.
It was when you're sitting in the stadium and watching
the
clock,
time tick away.
And you're like, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out Fox was texting. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I said, hey, it can wait. later on this morning on a program, Coach Mike Ditka, Thanksgiving traditions with Mike, and then Dan Hampton as well. Actually, Hamp will be on first at 7:10. Bears are one of only three NFL teams, I should say, have fewer wins than the Bears. The Giants have two, the 49ers have one, and the Browns have zero. Last night, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the snot out of the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Thank God the Bears don't have to play them.
Steve?
Yes?
The Bears will play at Philadelphia on Sunday.
I don't like their chances.
But here's the good news. Two of the teams you mentioned are the last two home games for the Bears. The 49ers and the Browns are both coming here.
How do you know the 49ers and the Browns aren't looking forward to playing the Bears?
Well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're looking at it. Hey, we got a chance to win one. 49ers are 1-9, or the Browns are 0-10.
There's only been one 0-16 team. It's the Lions of, how long has it been?
Yesteryear.
10 years ago?
Yeah, probably about that, yeah.
Yeah, so the Browns. Come on, Cleveland, you can do it. Yeah, suck it up. Next. President Trump, being very presidential as always, decided to make LeVar Ball, is that the dude's name?
Yes.
LeVar Ball more famous. He really only is known in sports circles because he's one of these blowhard fathers of professional athletes and a highly regarded college athlete who got more famous for shoplifting in China. So this is one of the three UCLA kids that got caught shoplifting sunglasses. President Trump happened to be meeting with President Xi of China at the time, and in conversation extricated the three, and they got back. Before they were able to hold a press conference, President Trump was whining about how the young men didn't thank him. And then out of nowhere, yesterday, tweeted that he should have left them in China because the father didn't appreciate what he did.
Right, because LeVar Ball had minimized Trump's involvement. The president's involvement. Now, did you hear what your good friend Steve Kerr had to say about all this?
What did he say?
He said, modern life, two people seeking attention, they're both getting it. I'm sure both guys are really happy. You know what would help? If all of you, the media, just stopped covering both of them. Is that possible?
Yeah, he's exactly right. He's exactly right. LeVar Ball left his son in prison in China to go to Hong Kong to sell his sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I have to say, LeVar Ball's first initial comment when they asked him about Trump's role in bringing his son back.
When he said, who?
Who?
Yeah.
What was he over there for? Don't tell me nothing.
There's a lot of jackassery going on there. A whole lot. And LeVar Ball has not been able to make a comment yet this morning because he's still pumping up his head to make it even bigger.
Yeah, and raising the price of his shoes.
Yes. Who's buying his shoes? Who would buy this idiot's shoes?
I don't know.
There are people who would buy these.
Parodied him on Saturday Night Live, two Saturdays. Each shoe is, what, $500,000?
Right, you only get one. Yeah. You have to buy one. And bad fathers. It's like Battle of Bad Dads. Trump's a terrible father, and so is LeVar Ball.
God.
And don't give me this nonsense about, the kids say nice thing about him. Have you ever seen Ivanka blink out, help me?
In Morse code, right with her eyes.
Please. Next. Chicago's going to sue U.S. Steel after two toxic spills in the Lake Michigan this year. What do we know about this?
Well, about 60 pounds of chromium leaked into the lake. This is after the wastewater treatment system malfunctioned. Now, the problem that the city of Chicago has is that it was reported to the state of Indiana, not the city of Chicago. So it's like they told one entity, but not the other. And then they tried to lie about it. So Emanuel said that they violated the Clean Water Act, and they will file suit this morning in Chicago.
Next, Homes.com. That's right, Homes. Homes.com has ranked Naperville the safest city in America. Okay?
There you go.
I happen to know that town a little bit. Mm-hmm. We got a great police department.
You feel safe?
Well, I'm simply safe, so of course feel safe. It's fine. So it's Naperville always gets ranked as one of the great places to raise kids. My kids grew up in that area. So I have no problem with that.
Wouldn't you feel safe if Steve was your neighbor, Andrea? Because he's fighting crime all night.
Plus he's got Simply Safe.
Yes. And I patrol the neighborhood all the time. Mm-hmm. So,
you and Max still do that? Fight crime?
Well, Max is in North Carolina now. So he's opened our Southern Division.
Okay, got it.
Yes. So I've brought in an apprentice. Can't say who it is, but Dean will be on at 8:10. Then there's this. And I believe Sandberg is getting money from the Sandhill Crane lobby because she put this story in the top 6 at 6. Sandhill Cranes have bounced back from the brink of as migration over Illinois is going to peak next week. You look up, you're going to see these cranes as temperatures drop. Fall is when the birds leave Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ontario, migrating past us on their way south to Florida. So say hi to the Sandhill Cranes. And if you get a chance to see Sandberg, ask her how much money the Sandhill Crane Foundation is giving her to get that story on the air.
I think Sandberg's happy because some scientists predict that the Sandhill Crane, Steve, may be on track for a recovery similar to the Canada Goose.
Apparently you're getting paid as well. Next.
Those cranes are everywhere, by the way.
Are they?
In Wisconsin, they're everywhere.
You don't like them? What's your problem
with
cranes?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Hey, how could you be negative about the Sandhill Cranes? Oh, let's go to your conscience on this.
So cute.
Your conscience must feel completely different than you.
I mean, you ever look at those things?
They're all over the fields.
I mean, they're uglier than sin.
Yeah, they're not pretty.
And don't even get me started on their droppings, okay?
Yeah.
And then there's this. As in this. Charles Manson's dead. He's 83 years old. He died this weekend after taking quite ill recently. Manson was born in Cincinnati. His mother abandoned him as a child, and he whined about that a lot. He then went to the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco, recruited a bunch of women, 18 specifically young women, told him he loved him, played a lot of Beatles music, had a lot of drugs involved, and shortly thereafter created a cult that would follow him and do anything. That cult, on August 9th, I believe, in 1969, went into the house of Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski. She was 8.5 months pregnant at the time. Slaughtered her and 4 others. Polanski was not there. And then the next night went to the Lobianco house, some other folks down the street, and killed 2 people there, 2 older folks there. Charles Manson went away and got the death penalty. He had nothing to do physically with the murders, but he orchestrated the murders, and he was a complete bat-ass crazy and acted like it in court, and the whole thing was a hot mess. And he became one of the most infamous killers ever. He was up for parole numerous times, so you had to listen to his nonsense. If you have my set of beliefs, it's hot where he's headed. Mm-hmm. And he's dealing with that now. Charles Manson dead at 83. And as I said earlier, well, it's about time. It's 6:31. We're back with a big story next at 720 WGN. And, of course, all that sponsored by American Weathermakers. Back next.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
I've got a stomach pain that's low. Fungus on my...
What? He's from the band just left? What was that?
Page Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
643, Dr. Kevin Moose, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. I don't know what happened to the band there, Doc.
Yeah, no, I thought I hung up on you or something.
The band just went, ah, we're done.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so new blood pressure guidelines. What is this? Is it for, and how did it happen, and what do we need to know?
Yeah, this is actually big news that people should get their hands around. So before, we used to think that high blood pressure was anything over the numbers of 140 over 90. Now a big study has come out that brings that down to 130 over 80. So let's just talk first about blood pressure. Blood pressure, we have two numbers, the higher number and the lower number. The higher number, which is called your systolic number, is the pressure that your heart is working when it's at its highest capacity, so when it's pumping. The diastolic number, the low number, is where the blood pressure is when your heart is complete relaxed.
Okay, and which one's more important?
In this study, it showed that systolic blood pressure is more important. So this is the one where we're going to try to get that systolic, that higher number, where we used to go, oh, keep it under 140 and you're good. No, we're going to say now keep it under 130, and your goal is actually 120. If you're over the age of 50, those are your new numbers.
And again, this is not your exercise blood pressure. This is your blood pressure at rest?
Yep, this is your blood pressure at rest.
Okay,
yep.
So is this something designed to make unhealthy people healthier, or is this for everybody?
No, this is pretty much for everybody. And people say, well, you know what, I don't really want to do this. This study, which has been going on for about 8 years now, looked at 9,000 people all the way across the country. And what it showed is if you're over the age of 50 and you're not diabetic, so this is not including diabetics, but if you're over the age of 50 and you can get your blood pressure down below 130 instead of using that 140 and actually get it closer to 120, you have a 25% chance, 25% chance, not 10, 25% chance less of having a heart attack, a stroke, having heart failure.
It's huge.
It's very huge. Very huge.
Is there a way to quantify that this is a general amount of weight that people should lose to help get to that number, or is that too hard to say?
Well, no, it's kind of interesting. When you look at it, this last week, this added 40 million people in the United States to be considered hypertensive.
Okay.
So a lot of people, you know, walking around saying, oh, no, I don't have high blood pressure, my blood pressure is this. Well, no, now you are hypertensive. So it's not like we're going to rush to put you on medicine, but this is going to be an opportunity for doctors to talk about lifestyle modification. How are we going to, like you said, if I lose some weight? Yeah, if you lose 5 pounds, your blood pressure will go down 5 points.
Wow.
For most people. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, my gosh. And diet, obviously, too, is huge.
Absolutely. And we are so poor with our diets here in the United States, not only the amount of food that we're eating, but the types of food that we're eating. We know that foods high in sodium are going to increase our blood pressure. So we're going to try to cut back on sodium as well. So you cut back on sodium and lose 5 pounds, you will still get the benefits of what this study has shown without having to go on medication.
Yeah, less salt is a really big deal. Plus, it's inflammation throughout your body. So.
Correct.
All right, so don't freak out over it, people, but just know there's incredible benefits, and your target ought to be 130, or below 130, I should say.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, us as doctors, we get very frustrated because we do not do a very good job of this. There's 70 million people when we use the old number of 140. So now we're north of 100 million people in the United States that have high blood pressure, and about one-third of them are really captured and treated well, down to a point where they're well within the numbers that they should be.
All right, when we come back, we're not going to ruin Thanksgiving. We're going to give you a reality check where you can enjoy the day, but you're not going to believe the calorie count of the food you're going to be eating. It's pretty crazy. So we'll come back and do that in just a second. If you eat till you're in pain, you probably could do with a little less. If you have to unbutton your pants and go out and buy new pants, you've probably eaten too much. At 6:47, more with Dr. Kevin Moose coming up. Dr. Kevin Moose, remember we post the notes that Dr. Kevin Moose sends us. We're backstage from the program. We post those notes, and you can see those notes pretty much right as soon as this segment's finished, just seconds after. It'll be at WGNRadio.com and also on Twitter at Cochran Show and Facebook. We put them up everywhere. We post them to light poles. We print them out. We hand them out on the street. You're covered, Doc. We got you everywhere.
Good.
All right. So the normal caloric intake during the day for to eat healthy is what? What's the range between women and men?
Yeah. So most females, they need about 1,800 calories just to sustain. So, you know, if you say, hey, I want to lose weight, and you're an average woman with an average exercise pattern, we would say, okay, eat 1,800 and exercise more, or try to eat less than 1,800. For men, it gets up to about 2,400, 2,500.
And on Thanksgiving Day, the average intake is what?
Well, that's the problem.
Okay, is it double? Is it like 2 days in one?
It's close to triple. Yeah.
Wow.
So oh my God. It can go anywhere, depending on how you eat. It can go anywhere from, you know, 3,000, 3,500 up to 6,000 calories.
6,000 calories? That's like ultra marathoner numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And you got to remember, Steve, we just talked about the importance of trying to lower your weight by 5 pounds.
Yeah.
And we're coming into a holiday season where we often see people, their weight go up by 10 pounds between now and January.
You got to really be
timing.
You really got to be committed to put on 10 pounds between Thanksgiving and Christmas, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So here's a few. Turkey and gravy. 8 ounces of turkey. That sounds like a lot of turkey, but 8 ounces of turkey is probably what? 3 slices?
Yep. 3 healthy slices there. And the big thing with turkey is take the skin off, because 8 ounces of turkey with skin on it is 440 calories with 18 grams of fat.
Mm-hmm. How about the stuffing? How are we doing there?
Stuffing is another one that's kind of a tricky one and sneaky, because people put butter in there. They put often they'll put sausage in there. They'll often put, you know, it's not just all the healthy stuff.
All stuff that tastes good, basically.
Correct. And a cup of it, which is not a large portion, it's a sizable portion, but not a large, is 400 calories and, again, sneaky 18 grams of fat.
All right. Now, a cup is how much? Is that 8 ounces?
Yeah, think of a measuring cup.
Maybe two giant, maybe three scoops.
It would be 2 healthy scoops, yeah.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole.
So green bean casserole, and people love it this time of the year, right?
And they think it's healthy because it's got green beans on it.
Correct. You know, and health people call it a heart attack waiting to happen, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Mainly because if you look at what's in that, we use green beans, and we just talked about the bad things about sodium. Well, most people, out of ease, will use green beans in a can, which are loaded with sodium. So if you are going to prepare it, at least rinse those out and try to get rid of at least as much sodium. Then you take a cream-based soup that you don't dilute out, and you put it, you know, into this, and then you put fried onions on top of it.
Yeah, the Durkin onions. Those are the bad ones.
Yep.
So 1 cup, how much?
350 calories, 17 grams of fat.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, or as I like to call it, Dave's favorite.
Yep, almost 450 calories.
And this, again, is 1 cup.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes with marshmallows. Do you do the marshmallows?
Oh, this is my absolute favorite Thanksgiving dish.
This is, and I'm not exaggerating, the highest calorie number on the list.
I know, I love this. Although my family found a way to make, they kind of broil the sweet potato.
Yeah, it brings it down by 4 calories.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the number, Doc?
610 calories. Now, you have to remember, sweet potatoes are actually a very, very, very good food for
you. But this is 1 scoop.
But the bad thing is we put sugar in there, we put brown sugar in there, and then we put marshmallows on top of it.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, skip the marshmallows.
So good. They're the best part of the Thanksgiving meal.
You were asking me about mashed potatoes, but I just remembered. We don't do mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, but without the marshmallows.
Well, listen, fatty. Get on the healthy stuff. Start eating mashed potatoes.
No, we don't do the
best part. You got to have the marshmallows.
Cranberry sauce. A 1/2 cup of cranberry sauce. How much?
Yeah, that cranberry sauce is one that, if prepared the right way, it's just a couple hundred calories and it has no fat in it whatsoever. So as long as you're not adding a bunch of sugar to it and actually just preparing it normally, it's probably the healthiest thing on your plate.
Now, the biscuits are a little better than I thought, because who doesn't love a good biscuit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much in a biscuit?
Only a couple hundred calories, but then you put butter on it and you added 15 grams of fat. So,
and then your dessert, in this case, pecan pie. How much?
Yeah. You know, pecan pie, pumpkin pie, about 400 calories and about 30 grams of fat if you do a healthy slice.
All right, now just...
Wait, is that with or without the whipped cream?
No whipped cream on that one, sorry.
Okay, so this, I would say this is conservative because we're talking about cups, those sizes. This is without seconds. That list, 3,100 calories, which is, 75% more than a woman has in a typical day and about 60% more than a man has.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that's assuming that you walk into your relative's house and go straight to the table and sit down.
Yeah, what about the hors d'oeuvres?
Exactly.
And
what
drinks.
About the cocktails? That's the big thing.
Oh, that's right. No hooch in there.
That's right. Got to have a glass of wine with that. That adds 150 calories.
So that's how you get close to that 6,000 number. You know, you have a couple of beers or a couple glasses of wine. You have some appetizers. You try grandma's cheese ball. You try, you know, the appetizers actually can add quite a bit.
It's unbelievable. Now, again, portion size, right? Now, Mary has this theory. Vanderbilt has this theory that plate size is the key here. Get smaller plates.
She's 100% right.
Yes.
She's 100% crazy.
Yay!
Oh, sorry.
Ditto that. It's the truth. Listen to the doctor. He knows.
You ask people to do portion control, and you give them a huge plate. So if they did portion control on this huge plate, it would look goofy. It would look funny when you sat down.
Yeah, you got to put a lot on.
Exactly. You could still have a decent-sized plate or a smaller plate. It'll look like you have a heaping plate.
I get my plates from Costco.
I'm not kidding. If you look at China, old China, it's smaller than the China today. It's the truth.
So you use old China? That's your key?
No, I'll use my mom's old China. It's smaller.
But can't we just say eat less? No, of course not. Not on Thanksgiving.
Not on Thanksgiving.
And people take seconds, too, besides the big plate.
Yeah.
Well, and when people go back for seconds, they're usually going back to the unhealthy things.
Right. You're not going back. Yeah, you're not going back for the stuff you ate out of politeness.
Correct.
You go back for the stuffing, always.
Hey, is there anything left of that stuff that our aunt brought in that made me just a little nauseous? Do we have any more of that?
We have a dish like that at our restaurant, or at our Thanksgiving.
You want to name what it is?
It's Greek stuffing. It's basically just ground meat, but there's like little, there's all kinds of different spices in there. They put dill,
makes you a little
chopped
nauseous.
Up onions. Yeah, it's not one of my favorites.
The goal, Doc, tells us between Thanksgiving and Christmas is, and this is interesting when you take this perspective for you, it's not to lose a bunch of weight. The goal is to zero out. Don't gain weight between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That would be a win, right, Doc?
That would be a huge win. If you weigh yourself today and you know what X is, and you weigh yourself on January 1st and you have not gained a pound, that is a huge win. Think about it. It's cold out. We don't exercise as much. You have holiday parties. You're eating very big meals, and you're eating heavier foods in the winter just because we have this sense of going into hibernation. We eat more. So if you can stay even between now and January 1, that's great for you. It's great for your heart. It's great for your blood pressure.
Great information as always. It's your ruined Thanksgiving. All Doc's trying to do is keep you alive so you can listen to the show. And
portion control. And actually, those of you who are preparing meals, you know, think healthier. Prepare a little healthier. Try a different way to do green beans. You know, try a different stuffing without as much caloric intake.
So. I tell you, I'm worried about Dave. You should see the crap he's making for Thanksgiving. It's unbelievable.
You know me, Doc.
I know you, Dave. You're going to be. Yep.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am cooking, believe it or not.
Are the entire Most clan coming over?
Yes, they are. We have a little stuff we have to do here at the hospital, some volunteer stuff we do here at the hospital, and then we'll all be at my house, and Patty and the dogs are here, so
nice.
We'll be busy. Yep.
We'll give Patty a hug. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
See you
Happy back. Thanksgiving. Well, there you go. Now everything you need to know to ruin Thanksgiving is out there for you. No need to thank me. It'll keep you alive, people. Zero out. Don't gain any weight till January 1st, and you'll have a huge win on your hands.
Done.
All right?
The Steve Cochran Show.
13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down! How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line?
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
This will be a 46-yard field goal try. By Connor Bart. Snap, hold, not even close.
Wow.
Holy Moses.
Wow. You know, it's all a problem.
Sponsored by Chevy Drive. That's right. This is how we do it. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Hall of Famer Dan Hampton set to join us here. And we find ourselves at the end of another Bears season playing out the string and hoping next year will be better. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, now they took apart the Dallas Cowboys last night, who were last year's team of the year. The Cowboys couldn't be touched during the regular season last year. It's not that hard to turn around a team. You can find lightning in a bottle. Yet year after year, Bears fans have had to put up with this nonsense. And I would hope that everybody's tired of it, Hamp. I don't know what kind of sense you're getting.
Well, yeah, I think everyone is more than tired of the lamenting post-game comments by the coach that has now, coming in second place, coming in close, almost woulda, coulda, shoulda, almost a virtuous, performance. It's
not Little League.
And you know what? Edo Bradovich yesterday, it doesn't play well here. And, as OB said, hey, this is where they started the game. And unfortunately, it looks like it's moved on and we can't play it anymore.
There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Dave, you were there yesterday.
Yes,
what was the sense in the building?
I think it was what Hamp's saying. I think the sense I had was you're sitting there and you're watching. And again, coaching aside, you got to remember the players are out there. And there was Matthew Stafford had all day to pick apart the defense. And mm-hmm. and for the most part, there was not a pass rush. And, you got to put some of this on the players, too. And I think, Connor Barth, I mean, it's a tough job. Everybody knows that, kicking in the NFL. But that's what these guys are supposed to do. Matt Prater kicks a 52-yarder on
when it's your moment,
condition.
You got
to
come through.
That's what you're there for.
You got to come
through. It's the whole thing, the whole package. And that's I think there was a lot of feeling in the stands that, hey, we've been watching this for a long time now.
But I guess the silver lining of the afternoon was Mitch Trubisky is showing that he's going to be okay, and he made a couple of the scramble on fourth down and the closing moments was good stuff. It's a lot of folks don't have the ability just to stooge run it like he did, and he scrambled all the way across 50. Then he comes up with a beautiful throw to Dontrell Inman to put us in position. Mm-hmm. And Connor Barth, I think it's tedious to keep going to the well, and the well is dry. This is something that Pace has to figure out. John Fox likes to say, "Hey, we like to play close, keep it close to the vet." Well, that's you better have a good kicker. If the way you want to roll is living on the margins, well, you better have a great kicker. Now, I wasn't sad when Robbie Gould was shown the door, but obviously, he's responded and doing well with the 49ers, but Connor Barth is not the answer. And I know they keep looking for the answer, but your job is to come up with the answers, not only as the general manager with the personnel moves, but the head coach being able to motivate your team, create a situation where you are able to win football games. Yesterday, Detroit was beatable. Matt Stafford was nothing special yesterday. He made a couple of really nice throws on occasion, but Detroit was ready to be beat. Mm-hmm. We let him off the hook.
Yeah, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but there was a story from August or September about the average ticket price per team in the NFL. And the Bears had the highest ticket price of any franchise. It was $131 a seat. The New England Patriots, they've won a couple of Super Bowls, were $130 a seat. So at $260 to go to the game, Hamp, there's a lot of things I could do with $260 that don't involve sitting in the cold and watching something that's unpleasant.
Every Sunday, I drive right by Soldier Field, and I marvel that it's not $260. I mean, you got parking.
Yep.
You got those hot dogs. If you want a beverage, you're looking at $400 before you even get out of bed. So, you know, the fact that these fans have not only continuously supported the team, even through all the, you know, the dark ages here, the last 20 years, all I can tell you is, you know, it can't last forever. Everyone knows there is, you know, a spot where enough is enough. We have approached that, and I think exceeded it, and yet the reply from the McCaskey family about John Fox, it's not playing well, and they have to understand this is not going to be there forever. And these fans, I hate the fact that this is what they have to go put up and watch week after week.
And I would say, Hamp, that the crowd yesterday, those who were there, they wanted the Bears to win. It got really loud a couple of times when Detroit was in third and long. Didn't, unfortunately, when they were like third and, 19 or whatever, it didn't have a whole lot of positive impact for the Bears. What do you hear about Leonard Floyd, and what will that loss mean to the defense?
Well, and again, it's one of those things that, you know, almost, you know, entirely preventable. You know, Kyle Fuller comes in, head down, eyes closed, and, you know, trying to take the legs out of the running back instead of, you know, the conventional form of tackling, which is where you man up and you know, wrap your arms and you know what you're doing. Well, Leonard Floyd, you know, his leg was taken out, and the word, I think it was 10:30 last night, is, yeah, it's season ending, and it's not good. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, as a defensive lineman, you know, obviously your knee's pretty important. But for someone like Leonard Floyd, where, you know, that quick fiber is his only true stock and trade, he's not that big, not that strong. Boy, you know, a knee injury is going to, you know, obviously take a lot of that tech quickness away. And all these things, they start to add up. They start to pile up. It's just, you know, 3-7 is no place to be.
And it couldn't be more ridiculous to be at 3-7. And who's coming in this weekend?
They're going there.
Who they've got this weekend?
They're going there.
The Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, it's not even a fair fight.
Well, I think the way we have to look at that is, you know, the birds get their revenge this week. We may get the turkey on Thursday, but the Eagles get us on Sunday.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Oh, big family thing with my wife's folks down in, I think it's Mokina. But we should be going up to the Great Lakes and seeing some of our wonderful service personnel early on Thursday. So it looks like it's going to be a wonderful Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, like I said, 7-3 would make the bird taste a lot better, but 3-7 will make it another year.
Happy Thanksgiving, bud. Always appreciate
it. Happy Thanksgiving.
On Monday, we will talk about the Eagles' assault on the Bears, and we'll go from there. Talk to you later.
We'll file charges on Monday.
That's
happy
right.
Thanksgiving.
See ya. ChevyDriveChicago.com. I have Hawks to end. Hawks are playing better.
They are playing better.
Yeah,
two in a row. In Pittsburgh, they sweep the Penguins.
Exactly. We have some tickets. It's a Hawker riddle.
Yes.
You know, nobody else is doing the riddles.
No.
And we'll do the Hawker riddle here in a couple of minutes. I also have a story about a politician that's so clueless, it's almost unimaginable.
Yeah, Hawker Riddle, yeah.
We'll get to Hawk and Riddle in just a second here. Also, I want to continue with the text question of the day. Who's the one person you're dreading seeing? It's the holidays. The relatives all get together. Who's the one person you're dreading to see this holiday season? Not just Thanksgiving. And why? Just give me a first name. First name and why they drive you nuts. Texter writes, Uncle Ricky. All he wants is to take all the free food he can for at least a month.
Oh, God. Right. Do you have those people, too, who leave the house with, well, you're just your immediate family, but those who want to, like, leave with just Tupperware after Tupperware of food?
Yeah, well, we get together with the extended family.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. 312-981-7200 is the texter number. Speaking of Thanksgiving, well, let me do the Hawker Riddle, and then let's see if we can talk some sense into Sandberg, who's got a Thanksgiving catastrophe coming in. Here is your Hawker Riddle for today. You tell me who this famous Chicagoan is. Robert Lewis turned a frown upside down. He spent 16 years just clowning around. Like everyone else, his own bucket list was a drum and a top in the bucket number 6. Who are we talking about? First correct answer, 312-981-7200. Robert Lewis turned a frown upside down. He spent 16 years just clowning around. Like everyone else, his own bucket list was a drum and a top in the bucket number 6. Okay? 312-981-7200. First correct caller will win Blackhawks tickets. All right, so Sandberg is cooking for how many people?
Just 8.
8 people. Mm-hmm. And you're angry because everyone wants traditional Thanksgiving.
Well, not everyone. My husband wants it, so that's what we're having.
And over the weekend, you were trying to tell him why you're stressed out by this, and what did he say?
He told me, last night, he said a few times, it doesn't all need to get done right now.
See, this is what we just talked about the other day.
Oh, I hate when he's telling you that.
Just talked about this the other day. This is why your team is crazy.
No, we are not.
Yeah,
come on.
Because you don't want a solution. You just want to be able to vent.
I told him that didn't make me feel better, but something like him saying, I know my mom is annoying, that would make me feel better.
It's almost like...
Here's what it's almost like. We need Rosetta Stone for women.
No, you do not. You know what that's like, though? It's kind of like saying, and you hate this, I know, relax.
Relax, yes.
Chill.
I believe I was...
No.
We just talked about
relax.
This the other day. That's why I was bringing it up. Yeah, they...
Yeah.
Oh, no, relax is Maureen's thing. Relax. When relax, Maureen wants to kill me.
Yeah, you don't go... Relax.
Yeah. And I don't want to be rushing on Wednesday and Thursday, so I'm doing a lot of things yesterday, Monday and Tuesday. You know, I'm very organized on my...
You understand, I'm not defending Pat, because clearly he's made a horrible mistake here. But the fact is, he's trying to make you feel better. He's not trying to make you...
Oh,
more
I know.
Angry.
And I want him to hear me. I said, that's not helping me because I'm going to do all these things anyway.
I'm telling you, Rosetta
Stone
for
women. What's
more
helpful is if you just said your mom is... If he said, I know my mom's annoying, that was like, okay, you get me.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You want to be understood.
Now we can all just agree and move forward.
You just want to be understood.
Yes. But I was also angry because his mom is coming here and I'm cooking Thanksgiving. And I think he and his mom really like the turkey and mashed potatoes and all that.
How dare they like the traditional Thanksgiving
meal? But then I find out his brothers are staying in Michigan with their families and they're having tenderloin. They're not even doing turkey. But when they came to my house 2 years ago, we had to serve turkey. And I'm like, how come... We can't just have tenderloin.
I don't understand why you can't make yourself a steak.
I'm not making
she's
two
not
meals.
She's not a restaurant.
That's what I told her.
It's not two meals.
I'm not Greek. We don't do short meals.
That's right.
Is there anything on the sides of a traditional Thanksgiving meal that would work with a steak?
Oh, yeah. It all does.
Yeah, of course. So why can't you make yourself a steak so you're happy?
Well, Catherine won't eat turkey, my stepdaughter. And so I can't, if I make myself a steak...
She'll want a steak.
She's going to have mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese and bread. So it's going to be all white. And salad. She likes salad and we're having salad.
Okay.
So.
You can't make separate meals for everyone.
No, I can't. Steve says that because he's not cooking anything. So he's throw out a bunch of meals. Unless they have
it was funny, though.
I'm saying if I were cooking and I was annoyed and I wanted steak, I'm cooking.
If
I'd
you
make
were cooking
steak.
Six dishes for the holiday, you would not
say
additionally.
I said two.
It was funny, though, when Sandberg came in and started telling the story about, well, we're having the traditional Thanksgiving. And what did you say? Well, you said, what are you going to, would you rather have? And mm-hmm. your answer was hilarious. steak or halibut.
You said steak or halibut like I'm the one that's crazy. Like, how can I not know
that? How can you not know that I want steak or halibut? I know.
It's an obvious choice. Come on,
hey,
man.
Let me go to Mike Jacobson on this. Mike, who carves the halibut at your house for Thanksgiving? Is there a tradition on the halibut carving?
Grandma's been doing it for
Grandma
years.
Always carves the halibut.
That's actually the first thing I say when I walk in the door. Where's that halibut? Where's my football? Where's my drink? And give me that halibut.
We got a Katie, the big winner here. Katie, I don't know what to do with these people. I'm trying to talk sense to them. You know what I'm saying?
They're cracking me up.
I have tickets for you to see the Blackhawks against the Dallas Stars Thursday, November 30th. You'll be entered to win four-season tickets for next year as well, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. If you can tell me the correct answer to the Hawker Riddle, who was it?
It's Bozo the Clown.
Bozo the Clown! Oh.
That was a good one.
Bob Bell.
That was a great clue. I loved it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, John DeCoste, the riddle maker. Hold the line. Congratulations. You're a winner and happy Thanksgiving. Come back with a big story next on 720 WGN. Where's my halibut?
The Steve Cochran Show.
Do you think that Al Franken should resign?
I think that's a decision for Al Franken and the people of the state of Minnesota. My understanding is that Al is a very popular senator. People in Minnesota think that he is doing a good job, and his political future will rest with the people of Minnesota.
Stupid is bipartisan, as Ryan Nobles joins us now. That's a phrase of the day, Ryan. Stupid is bipartisan.
This week definitely demonstrates that, that's for sure.
And before we get to Al Franken, Bill O'Neill is a Democrat running for governor in Ohio. There's a post that he has since taken down that he put up on Facebook this weekend. Keep in mind he's running for governor. Oh, and by the way, he's a sitting judge. Here's what he wrote. Now that the dogs of war are calling for the head of Senator Franken, I believe it's time to speak on behalf of heterosexual males. As a candidate for governor, let me save my opponent some research time. In the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. It ranged from a gorgeous personal secretary to Senator Bob Taft, who was my first true love. We made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn. And it ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead who was a senior advisor to Peter Lewis at Progressive Insurance in Cleveland. Now can we get back to discussing legalizing marijuana and opening the state hospital network to combat the opioid crisis? I am so disappointed by this national feeding frenzy about sexual indiscretions decades ago. Doesn't address the root cause of this about sexual harassment. He's since taken down the post and told people to lighten up. This guy's got to be out of the race today, doesn't he?
I mean, you would think so. And, I think that post right there just completely shows how there's still a huge segment of the male population that is completely tone deaf to this kind of awakening that we've had about sexual harassment and sexual indiscretions that aren't okay, that are illegal, that are wrong, and that have gone on for far too long and have been tolerated for far too long. And now, finally, the American public is standing up and saying this is enough. And it was only a matter of time before it seeped into the world of politics. Roy Moore and Al Franken are not the first. They're certainly not going to be the last. This is a huge problem that this country is finally addressing. And when you have people who are trying to pass it off as being somebody overreacting to a situation, that's the cause of the problem to begin with. And it's got to start with men who stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to allow our friends to do this anymore. And we're going to try and make a better world for everybody else. And when you see a post like that for somebody who thinks they should be governor, it just shows how tone deaf many, many people still are when it comes to this particular issue.
Yeah. And again, here's the difference between Al Franken and Roy Moore. And I'm not defending what Franken did. As a matter of fact, I have a friend that dated Leanne Tweeden for a long time, knows her, stayed friends with her. She's been in studio with us before. I don't know her, but certainly crossed paths with her many times. Very nice person, fun, cool to hang out with. But she got an apology from Franken immediately. Then he updated his apology, and she said she accepts his apology. Roy Moore not only hasn't apologized, he's done what Trump did. He has attacked the victims. And all I keep hearing from people is they need to prove it. How exactly would they prove it? And here's what I'd like to see. Roy Moore, prove that it didn't happen. You prove it.
Right.
You prove that you didn't sexually harass or assault those women who don't know each other and have nothing to gain by this. And, you prove it.
And I would even add, too, Roy Moore's accused of being a sexual predator against teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
These are 14, 15, and 16-year-old girls who are coming out. And adding to that, Steve and Ryan, Roy Moore's he's been an elected official for decades. He has had dozens of elections. So the excuse that, well, these women are all coming forward now to ruin this particular election is just an actual pile
of... Republicans. The women that have made these accusations are Republicans. He needs to prove it. And the other thing, Ryan, the idea that we have a presumption of innocence outside of a court of law is nonsense. As a matter of fact, you have a presumption of guilt until you're proven innocent, unless you're in a court of law.
Well, here's what I think is a dangerous road that the White House tried to go down on Friday. And this is what I was at the White House on Friday. It's Sarah Sanders' answer to a question about the difference between the president himself and the accusations against the president and the accusations against Al Franken, because the president couldn't wait 12 hours to weigh in on Al Franken, even though it opened him up to a series of criticisms. And her response was, well, Al Franken has admitted it and the president has not. So is that the standard that we're going to set? So if someone is contrite, admits they did something wrong, apologizes, and tries to make the situation better, well, that person's guilty and should be run out on a rail. But the person who denies after repeated accusations with a mountain of evidence but still says, I didn't do it, well, that person's okay. That's a very dangerous road to go down, because that's part of what got us into this place in the beginning, because accusers were afraid to come forward because there were no consequences for the people who just denied it. And when you get into it, a he said, she said world, at least up until about 6 months ago, usually it was the he said who won in that argument. So the idea that the most powerful person in the world can just slough it off and say, well, it's
ridiculous.
Didn't do it, so just forget about these women, is ridiculous and I think is wrong.
Yeah, no, and the idea that this country, I got a texter right now, the country is founded on innocent until proven guilty. No, I'm sorry, you're incorrect. The justice system was founded on innocent until proven guilty. Unfortunately, no charges have been filed criminally against Donald Trump or against Bill Clinton in the old days or against Roy Moore. So they do not have the presumption of innocence. And if somebody came out and said this about me, I would be going nuts trying to prove that it didn't happen and not hiding behind a bunch of people who believe your nonsense. Prove that I'm wrong.
Well, and I think there's also... Yeah, and I think there's also a point to be made here about how power works in this country, and how even though Lady Justice has a blindfold on and the scales are only tipped based on the evidence, that when you look at somebody like Roy Moore, this is a guy who had an enormous amount of power for a very long period of time. He was, when these initial accusations came down, he was an assistant district attorney. He later became one of the most powerful judges in the state. He comes from the Republican Party, of which everyone in power in that state is a Republican. If you're someone who has the courage to accuse him of something, especially if you're a 14-year-old girl, who is going to believe you versus him? To me, it's not a surprise at all that it took 30 years for this to come out, and it didn't come out until he was someone who was in the national conversation, because that it just allows the opportunity for more people to look into this and look at it from a different perspective, a perspective outside of Alabama. You have to take all those things into account
totally
when you're looking at these cases. And you can't just say, well, the guy said he didn't do it, so I guess he's all right.
We'll take a break right after traffic. Come back. More from Andrea, more from me, more from you, Ryan Nobles. First, here's Mary Vanderbilt. And Ryan Nobles from CNN is with us. Andrea, say hi to Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. You know, I just wanted to say real quick, I saw that news conference with Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Friday. It was a complete embarrassment. The answer to the question when she was asked about President Trump and the sexual harassment allegations, for her to say, the American people have spoken, does not give any answers to anything. And I agree with you. I think it starts at the top. And it was just an embarrassment to sit there and watch. But that being said, I want to ask you about Robert Mueller now looking for documents about Trump's decision to fire then-FBI Director James Comey.
Right. Yeah, and I think that this is an example now, and we have some reporting over this over the weekend, as has the Washington Post, about kind of the next stage of the Mueller investigation. And it's going to really be a drip, 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 where every couple of days there's going to be another report about how they're seeking some sort of documents. They're wanting to know more about particular meetings. They're going to interview specific people that are connected to the White House. And there may not be huge bombshells like we saw when Paul Manafort was arrested or when Rick Gates was arrested, but it's going to continue to kind of to pick away at this White House. And, you know, their president at one point and some of his counsel said that they hope the investigation would be over by the end of the year. That's definitely not going to happen. It's going to bleed in to a large part of 2018. It's going to hang over top the midterm elections for sure. And, you know, it's going to be something that's going to be constantly dogging the president and the White House. And that's not something he likes. He doesn't like to have things like that hanging over his head. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles all of this. But I think the big thing to kind of point back to your question, Andrea, is it looks like they're trying to connect the dots here, right? They know meetings took place. You know, people were in certain places. They're trying to find how that tracks back to the highest office. And whether or not Mueller finds anything, we have to wait and see.
So there's a weird story that's gone kind of unreported, but Trump is spending his Thanksgiving holiday at Mar-a-Lago, and some Russian oligarch slash billionaire has parked his giant yacht just down the street. Is this a story or a coincidence?
From everything we could tell, it's a coincidence, but it was certainly one of those things when the story posted. I mean, initially, the Palm Beach Post, which is the newspaper down there, which, by the way, does a very good job of covering the president's visits to West Palm Beach. I know some of the reporters there, and they're the ones that were first tipped off to this and reported it. And it was definitely one of those things where it got sent around our newsroom, and just to kind of get everyone's ears perked up. And we're not exactly sure what this means. There doesn't appear to be any direct connection between the president and this Russian oligarch, but it is pretty interesting. I believe it is the largest private yacht that is in service right now. And it just happens to be in West Palm Beach the same time the president is. And it's owned by a very powerful Russian oligarch.
What do we make of the tax plan? Is there going to be any movement on it this week? They want to get it done by the end of the year. The House has already approved their version of the bill. The Senate has an appeal of the Obamacare mandate in it. Is anything going to happen this week?
Nothing will happen this week because they're all out for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Thank God. They finally got a break.
So the busy time will be right after they come back from Thanksgiving, so that Monday. So between there and I would say the kind of crucial period of time is going to be between December 1st and December 12th, because December 12th is when Roy Moore is either going to win or lose that election, and with it perhaps another Republican vote goes with him. So you're going to see the Republicans in a furious sprint to try and at least get their side of this done, so that they can go to some sort of conference committee. But, you know, Steve, we're really right back where we were with health care. I mean, there are about three or four senators who are very uncomfortable with a lot of the provisions in this plan, and they need 50 votes. I talked to Ron Johnson earlier this week. He's from Wisconsin. He's a conservative. He's somebody that they should easily have locked up, but he's concerned that the bill's not conservative enough, that it hurts these pass-through entities, which are small businesses, which he actually was a small businessman. And he's also frustrated that he's not a part of the process. He's an accountant, a former businessman, somebody who has deep understanding of the U.S. tax code, but he's not a friend of Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell and team pretty much assumed that he was going to lose in Wisconsin this year, but the president's rising tide brought his boat to the finish line. So you've got a lot of unhappy people there, not just Johnson. You've also got Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, who are in open war with the president, who, unless this bill is perfect, they're not going to do any favors for the president. And then you've got the moderate wing, you know, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and John McCain, who have their concerns about it. So, you know, this is another one of these things where it's going to be difficult to get all these folks in line to get the 50 votes they need. The will seems to be there a little bit more than health care. Republicans seem to understand that they need to get something done. But there's no guarantees. And if they lose that Senate race, and it's either going to be, you know, it's two evils, it's either going to be a straight out Democrat or it's going to be a Roy Moore Republican who has said that he is not coming to Washington to play ball. It's going to be a lot harder to get this done.
Yeah, and there's only so much deal making that can go on because there's things you could trade and there's things that you frankly can't trade. Can you imagine how depressing it must be to have Thanksgiving dinner with Mitch McConnell?
Oh, God.
Anybody want more gravy?
He wouldn't offer seconds. Come on.
Nobody likes me. What are you doing for Thanksgiving with your brood of 47?
Oh, we've got an excellent Thanksgiving plan. So my grandmother is 90, and my grandfather is 96. And as people in their 90s do, they just bought a house. So they're very proud of the fact that they just bought a house.
They get a 30. They get a 30-year mortgage?
Yeah, actually, they're probably dead. Yeah. They live independently in Buffalo, New York, my hometown.
God bless them.
So, my aunt has organized one of those big old-fashioned family Thanksgivings that we haven't done in probably 25 years with my dad's side of the family. So I have bravely took on the task of piling the whole family into the
That's
car
great.
On the worst travel day of the year on Wednesday, and we're going to drive up to Buffalo for this old-fashioned family Thanksgiving. We're very excited about it.
Well, that sounds like a blast, and good for your wife for putting up with your nonsense.
Ryan, make sure they participate in the flag football game, too.
The 96 and the
90-year-old. Absolutely. Yeah, they got to get in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Tuesday, I get to be there when the turkey gets pardoned. So, you know, with President Trump, I can imagine there's, many layers of symbolism to this whole
thing. I think the turkey will just look up and go, no, don't pardon me. Just kill me. Just end it. All right, have a safe trip, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I love being on with you, and I hope you have a great holiday.
All the best. It's Ryan Nobles from CNN. We love having him. And we'll come back with Dean Richards, and he'll tell us entertainment after we do the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean joins us now. Good morning, Dean.
Hello there.
Dave Schwann's in the newsroom this morning.
Schwanny.
Hey, Dean, good morning.
It's your regular again. Sunday wingman. And by wingman, I mean turkey.
Nice to hear him sober for a change.
Yeah, well, we're not guaranteeing that. Deanie, text question of the day is, who are you dreading seeing the most for the holidays?
Oh.
And first names only, and why? Let's see. Oh, this is good. 219. I dread seeing my Uncle S, period. But during the holidays, it's even amped up more because he likes to tell me what a horrible niece I am, and then he'll ask me for $10.
Wow.
You know, every family has that guy, though. Hey, your parents aren't going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. You're a huge disappointment. You are a huge disappointment to the whole family. Unless somebody needs to tell you. You straighten yourself up. Can I have $10? That's the guy. That's the guy.
Six. What's his name, Uncle what?
Well, the name is a specific nickname. I just said S, period.
That he's a big S is what you said.
That's kind of what I'm saying, yeah. Anyway, keep those texts coming in. Worst person coming in for
Who's yours?
Thanksgiving. Mine's me. Actually, I dread most having people see me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if you don't know who it is you. Have you got one off the top of your head you'd like to share with the class?
Well, I enjoy the holidays, each and every person at the Thanksgiving
table. That's
what
I thought you might say. Hold on a second. Let me check the BS meter.
Well, let me finish. Ever since I hired people to portray my family, to be my family, instead of my actual family members.
So it's a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, these are all people. I pay people to come and pretend to be my family members.
That's an interesting idea. I mean, if you could pull that off with all the actors you know.
Yeah. I got Lonnie Anderson playing my mom this year.
Oh, well, good. And she could use the work.
Yep.
Dean, at least there's 10 people in our family who have the same name. Well, so if you say Nick, you don't know which one it is.
Yeah. We have a George issue like that in our
family.
Yeah.
Another texter says, my stepsister, her husband, and kids drive an hour and a half for Thanksgiving. They come in the house. They stay for 30 minutes. My mother gives them four meals to go, and they leave.
Perfect.
So they treat Thanksgiving as a drive-through.
You might want to think about putting a drive-through window on your kitchen so they don't even have to get out of the car.
I want to thank everybody that came out last night to Zanies to see our friend Pat McGann and some of Chicago's finest comedians. John DeCoste and I hosted an auction as well, raising money for the Curate Foundation.
It was a great time.
Fighting pediatric cancer. Full house, almost a fire hazard. That's how many people were at Zanies in Rosemont last night.
It's dangerous.
So that's good. And Dean, I was wondering, before we get to the list, did you see the Night of Too Many Stars this weekend, the autism benefit hosted by John Stewart?
I did not. I was in Los Angeles, and I was in flight when that was on the air. Was it good?
Portions of it were very funny, but there are parts of it. I'd be curious to get your take on it when you do see it. There are parts of it that were unnecessarily filthy.
Hmm.
Which he just didn't have to go that deep in it.
You know, Jon Stewart, you know, his first time on HBO, where you can swear. So
yeah, they had all sorts of technical issues with a live show. That can happen. But they also had some really funny moments. Bob Newhart, very funny.
Oh, really?
When is Bob Newhart not very funny?
Bob Newhart. No, we love Bob
Newhart. He's the best. And there was a great moment where, because people bid crazy amounts of money for experiences with celebrities. That's a big chunk of the night. And one was A Night on the Town with Jon Stewart. And Jon Stewart took these two women backstage where he had a hot dog stand from the street. That was their dinner out. And then instead of a limo, they had New York City bikes, which is the equivalent of our Divvy bikes.
Right.
And then they pretended to ride the Divvy bikes to go see a show. And the show was at Madison Square Garden, where I think it was Madison Square Garden, where Billy Joel was playing. And they walked up on stage during Billy Joel singing Just the Way You Are.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool.
We should do that.
We could
Night Out with Steve.
Exactly. A Night on the Town with me.
Yeah.
I'll come up with a list. American Music Awards winners, a great Christina Aguilera tribute. Details on that coming up. Horrible David Cassidy news, along with a couple other celebrity deaths over the weekend. Al Franken news is new. And then what'd you think of Chance the Rapper on Saturday Night Live? All coming up.
Yeah.
Back to Dean, live at Channel 9. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Having the family over at the house.
Yesterday was your big Thanksgiving show. I heard you talking that the Butterball Mrs.
Turkey Talk Line Lady
was on. What's the question she gets asked the most?
You know, I didn't ask her that, but you know, because we dug right into the serious cooking questions. But through the years, I remember them saying that defrosting your bird is their most frequently asked question.
And what is the answer to that?
People asking, you know, how much time do they need to defrost their bird? So you can either put it in the refrigerator, has to be in the refrigerator, depends on the size of the bird, for several days. Like a 12-pound bird takes 3 days in the refrigerator. Or you can put it in a bathtub or a cooler or a tub and change the cool water every 30 minutes, and it'll defrost in about 6 hours. I like to get in the bathtub with
your turkey?
With the turkey, and then change the water every 30 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
All right, bunch of news to get to here. What's going on with David Cassidy?
He is in critical condition. With the organ failure, he disclosed about a year ago that he had been suffering from dementia. I don't know if these two things are related, but last night he was put in listed as critical condition. He is breathing through a breathing tube and is in intensive care at a Fort Lauderdale hospital right now. His family and friends are behind surrounding him. And you know, they're taking it day by day, so it's it does not look good for the 70s heartthrob.
Is that because of a lifetime of abuse, or we don't know?
They don't know. They have not said what's causing the organ breakdown. There were reports that he needs a liver transplant immediately. There are other reports saying that he has passed the point of that a liver transplant would help him. So at this point, we just don't know.
The weekend also a couple of celebrity deaths, right?
Yeah. The great Mel Tillis, the country legend,
yeah,
passed away. He had just one number one song after another through the years. He was 85 years old. We also lost Malcolm Young, who was the AC/DC guitarist and co-founder, along with his brother Angus. He had been suffering from dementia as well for several years. He was only 64 years old.
Wow.
And Earl Hyman, he's probably will be best remembered as the actor who played Bill Cosby's dad on The Old Cosby Show.
Okay.
He passed away 91 years old. He was also a very successful Broadway actor.
The
happy news today.
Yeah, well, let's continue on that unfortunate path. But in this case, it's Al Franken. What's the show business side of this?
The latest on Franken is that, number one, he's told a Minnesota newspaper that he's not going to resign. That's on that. But on the entertainment side, he has been cut out of the David Letterman tribute. When David Letterman received the Mark Twain Award in October, PBS is going to broadcast that tonight, and they cut out Al Franken's participation as part of the tribute that'll be on tonight.
It might seem silly to folks, but it would be a significant distraction if he was still in there.
It would. It would. Apparently, he'll be in some group scenes, but, you know, where he actually speaks and pays tribute to Letterman has been taken out. Also on the sexual harassment front, Jeffrey Tambor on the TV show Transparent abruptly quit yesterday.
Quit the show?
He quit the show yesterday.
He's the star of the show.
He is the star and the central character of the show. He has been accused by two transgender members of the cast of abuse. And he said it's utterly untrue and insulting. And
well, then why quit?
He cannot. Well, he says he can't continue to be in that environment with those kind of accusations coming from the cast. So he's decided to leave.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, it would seem to me that if you're innocent, you stay and you fight through
it. It's like you stay and fight, but he's decided that he doesn't want to be around it. The accusations are still going to be there. It's not like the accusations are going to go away. He just doesn't. He says, don't want to be. These conditions make it impossible for me to work.
Wildly respected show and one of the mainstay award winners.
He has won an Emmy Award, I think, twice.
Yeah.
For playing a transgender character on the show.
It's going to be interesting now to say, okay, so Jeffrey Tambor, Kevin Spacey, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with a lot of these popular shows, wouldn't you guys think?
Head of the class. It's not the name of the show. House of Cards. How to get head of the class on a House of Cards? House of Cards, there's a rumor it's going to be spun off.
With Robin Wright? With the Robin same cast?
Okay. Robin Wright is
focused on focused on one, was it the... I don't remember. It'll be mainly focused on one of the other supporting characters.
Oh, Doug Stamper, the chief of staff?
Right, but now they're talking about Robin Wright will be the president.
Okay,
and Doug
good.
Stamper, who just an evil genius
because
as
honestly,
chief of staff, would be more the lead.
What a great spinoff. What a great way to handle this, you know, empowering women.
Yeah, it's a way to keep it up. What do you think of Chance the Rapper Saturday night?
I thought he was fantastic.
I thought he did a nice job.
I thought he did a really good job. Really funny, really comfortable. He's very charismatic.
How old is that kid?
Chance is, you know, I've got to look that up. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think he might be 30 years old or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so, but still, I mean, he was very impressive.
Very impressive. I've never seen him do, you know, comedy or any kind of acting, anything before.
The monologue was but there was a funny moment in the monologue where he's 24. There was a funny moment in the monologue where he talked about giving the Chicago public school system $1 million, and he goes, and guess what? I don't have it.
Right. Right. I like the song, though. I like this Thanksgiving song that he did.
I feel like they've done that before. I feel like they've done that Thanksgiving song or that holiday thing before. So,
I don't know.
Play a little bit of it.
It's Thanksgiving time. No one said it'd be fun. Like when your Aunt Siobhan showed you a gun. Your niece is gonna cry about how nobody's woke. And that's the exact time your uncle decides to tell a Cosby joke. It's Thanksgiving
it's funny.
Time.
Yeah. I liked it.
So say goodbye to
all
I love the bit that he did where he was a basketball reporter who was assigned to do a hockey game
and
knew absolutely nothing about hockey.
That was funny.
That was funny. The Family Feud where he is Steve Harvey's illegitimate son, I thought was funny. There were lots of funny moments. Chance is going to be here at WGN-TV for our annual drive-through toy drive on December the 8th. He's going to be here all morning long from 5 until 10. You drive up, you give us a new unwrapped toy. And all of that will go to one of Chance's favorite charities. We're partnering up with him this year to, you know, make the holidays a little brighter, the organization called Social Works. So if you're Chance the Rapper fan, and I know you WGN Radio audience.
Yeah, big Chance the Rapper audience here. Yeah.
You are Chance heads. That's going to be December 8th.
And Christina Aguilera making a lot of news this morning for her American Music Award performance and tribute to Whitney Houston. Can I play a little of this?
Yes, please.
Let's play a little of this.
She did a fine job. She's getting so trashed on
Why?
Social media that people didn't like her pacing.
Oh,
people
stop
didn't
it.
Like the
I loved
off
it.
Key.
I didn't throw people.
That little 5 foot. I've said for a long time, she ate Aretha Franklin. There is a black soul legend in that little white girl's body. She's unbelievable.
She's unbelievable. I thought she did a great job.
One of the people who don't like her?
No, I don't. I love her. I think she's great. I think she's immensely talented. I don't think this was her best performance.
Did you hear it or did you just hear that clip?
I just heard that clip.
Well, then listen to the whole thing.
All right.
Don't judge it based on the clip.
Okay. I don't think the clip is that bad. I mean, I think the clip is fine. But, you know, for one thing, I mean, I give her a lot of credit taking on
that song.
One of the greatest voices of all time. That is challenging. And the comparisons, I mean, she knew that there were going to be a million comparisons for it. It's not Whitney Houston, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be. I thought she did a fine job. Pink, it wouldn't make any sense to play on the radio, but Pink performed on a high wire on the side of a hotel, 34 stories up in the air.
That was cool. I did see that.
That was amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Why couldn't they have her on stage? Oh. It seems like it's dangerous to be on a high wire.
If you have a chance to see Pink in concert, it's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Dean, you'd probably agree. It's like the Cirque du Soleil. She flies over the whole arena. Right.
That's how our New Year's Eve show is going to be with me doing stand-up. I'm going to fly over the crowd.
Not only Steve on high wire, but all the audience will be required to also be on high wire.
And we'll take turns.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Bruno Mars won the most last night. He was Artist of the Year, won 7 awards last night.
And Dave Schwann says he's got a bone to pick with you. No, I'm kidding. He's not even in the chair. All right, man. You'll be on with us tomorrow, right?
I will be on with you tomorrow.
Yeah, because we'll be over at the museum for the Saturday Night Live experience.
I can't wait.
Yeah, swing by. Come by.
I should. I should see if I can get out of the studio tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. Talk to you later. Well, I come back with the big story and Coach Ditka next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show at 845. I have more tickets. Our last couple of pairs of tickets for tomorrow's Saturday Night Live experience. Papa's got a brand new bag. Be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. You could be caller number 7 at 312-981-7200. Remember, you got to be able to be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications tomorrow. We're doing the show from 6 to 10. We'd love to have you stay all morning. But a portion of that, come by. You're going to be able to see the Saturday Night Live experience without the big crowds. It's just you and 50 other listeners. That's it. That's the crowd. 50 people.
That's going to be awesome.
And we're going to do the show from the Weekend Update desk.
How cool is that?
Well, it's tomorrow at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Will we all be able to fit at the desk?
Yeah, it's a big desk. But you guys will be characters.
Yeah.
You kind of slide in and slide out.
Yeah, we'll have the rolling chair where you can just go.
So, like, Andrea will be the drunk uncle?
No.
No.
Because I don't...
I see that as being you.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Steve.
I see you as a drunk.
Okay.
Thank
you, did you Steve? Like the way I set you up for that? Really?
Yeah, that was a gimme.
I'll be the little the woman who portrayed the little Hebrew boy. The boy at Hebrew school where he would read the Torah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That works with your Greek background.
That's right.
Yeah. Todd Stroger officially is running for Cook County Board President.
Yeah, he made the announcement this morning, says he is going to run against Tony Preckwinkle for Cook County Board President. Remember, she defeated him in 2010.
I have an example of the worst and the best. The worst and the best.
Okay.
Both died. One, I think, has taken the elevator down. One, not so much. Mm-hmm. Charles Manson died yesterday. He was 83 years old. Manson became famous for being one of the first famous mass murderers. A whiny little creep who blamed the fact that his mother abandoned him for all the troubles in his life. Convinced people to become his, quote, family. And it all went very, very badly from there. An actress named Sharon Tate was 8.5 months pregnant. his family murdered her and four others, and the next night murdered the LaBiancas. Manson did not take part in either murder, but because of his orchestration of the murders, he served murder sentences. I think he was charged with nine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, how'd they get to nine?
I think because they...
Oh, the baby?
Yeah, the baby.
The baby...
The unborn baby.
I still only count eight. But anyway, it's an awful, awful story. He's the
worst.
You
know why, Steve? Because there was a... He was also found guilty of a murder years and years and years prior to that.
Oh, is that right? I did not know
that.
Sorry,
as I knocked my coffee.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this. An Afghan police lieutenant named Saeed Bassam Paka on Thursday afternoon of last week was at the back of a crowd of civilians, many of them dignitaries, leaving a hall that he was guarding. A man walked in looking nervous with an overcoat. The weather wasn't overcoat worthy. Paka, the Afghan police lieutenant, assumed the worst. He approached the man, told him to stop. The man turned around and started to run. Paka grabbed him from behind, big guy, grabbed him from behind and threw a big bear hug on him to stop him. Unfortunately, he didn't stop the man from setting off his suicide vest, killing the lieutenant, killing the bomber, obviously, and several others. But they said he saved maybe as many as 100 people and sacrificed his own life. Seven other police officers, as well as six civilians, were killed. 18 were wounded. But the unbelievable heroism, because he had to know when he did that, there was a chance he would die. Reminds me of the story we heard from the Navy SEALs we've spoken to around the Bin Laden mission. He said one of the Navy SEALs, when he ran into the room, ran at one of Bin Laden's wives, who was sleeping with Bin Laden, and tackled her. You know, covered her up on the ground. That idea being that if she had a suicide vest and blew herself up, he would die. Mm-hmm. But his brothers in the room and on the stairwell would not. You can't even comprehend that kind of heroism.
No, not at all.
All right, 8:49. Let's go to Mary Vandeveld for a traffic update here. We're still hoping to get Coach Ditka on. We'll see if that works out before the end of the show.
Ditka.
Well, it's coming right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
the Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you, Coach Ditka.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. What are your plans this week? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, we're down in Florida now, so we got a couple people coming in, but you know, we're just going to have dinner at home. Actually, they cook it at the club. We take it home. It's kind of laid back guy. They watch a lot of football, things like that. You know, and no big deal.
I noticed that your restaurants, the billboards are up. A lot of people make that a tradition. They have Thanksgiving at Ditka's.
The Ditka's in Chicago and Oak, those restaurants do a great job on Thanksgiving. They really do. And it saves people. You know, a lot of people don't want to set up, you know, do the whole thing, cook the big meal like they did in the past. So it's pretty a nice deal. They treat you pretty nice. It's a good deal.
I don't know if you played a lot of Thanksgiving games with in your Cowboys run, because I don't remember when the Cowboys started playing every Thanksgiving, but I know you played Bears-Lions games, and one in particular, 1964, I looked up some notes here. You had three catches in that game four catches for 35 yards. How about that, Coach? How about those stats?
That wasn't very good. In 1964, we weren't very good. That was a bad year. We had a bad football team, but I played a lot. We played on Thanksgiving with the Cowboys a lot, so I played in a lot of those games, and I think the Bears, I think that might have been the only one I played on with the Bears. I really do.
Yeah, but there was a game in 85 in Dallas with the Bears that I don't think Bears fans will ever forget. Remember?
Well, is that
44-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, 44. Yeah, that thing kind of got away from the Cowboys early, and we had a good team. We had a great team. They were focused. They were on a mission. They went in there they knew what they wanted to do. I mean, they
got it done.
I think even that early, they thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that kind of mission is important to a winning team, and the Chicago Bears find themselves in a different position. Does your strategy as an organization change when you know you're playing out the string?
Well, they could have won the game, guys. You know, I mean, you know, we wouldn't be having a discussion about losing a football game yesterday if the field goal they would have won into overtime or you know, a lot of things could have happened, but it didn't happen.
Right.
And so you start looking around and say, why? I thought Trubisky played a great football game.
Yeah, me too.
I thought the Bears did a lot of things in the game that were very, very good. But you have to have the whole package, offense, defense, and special teams. And if you're lacking one or the other, you're going to have a problem because you can't always make up for it. You know, everybody talks about New England. You take New England, yeah, they got a great offense. Watch their defense play. Watch their special teams play. Yep. That's why they're good. And you're seeing the same thing right now. I watched Minnesota yesterday. That's a pretty good football team. I mean, if somebody asks you who Minnesota's quarterback is, you'd be hard-pressed to say who he is. That's a pretty good football team. They're balanced. They can run. They can play defense. Okay, good special team. You know, and that's what it takes in football. I mean, I know what the glamour is, and I know what looks good. I know what the fans want to see, this and that. But, hey, you got to have balance, and you got to have guys go out there and bust their butt every week. The Bears played hard. They could have went – you know, it could won a game.
Sure.
Get away from them. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you like kickers, Coach?
I like Kevin Butler. I like Kevin Butler. I had a guy in Dallas when I was coaching special teams there. Drove me nuts. He was a foreigner. Efren Herrera. I'd kick a touchdown. No, you won't kick a touchdown. but he was a great kid. He was a great kid. And the whole team, you know, puts their confidence in that kicker at that point. And when
they got to deliver.
And then I understand, yeah, the pressure's on him, too. I mean, it's not easy. But, I mean, you know, that's his job. You're supposed to do it.
Our team's quicker to change kickers now than they were when you were coaching? It seems like now you miss a kick, you're gone.
Yeah, I think they are. I really do. I think it's I don't know. I think when you look at the way some of the kicks are missed, though, I mean, that kick had no chance in the world yesterday. I mean, I don't know how far off that was, but it's pressure. I mean, I've never been a kicker. I mean, I've been a punter, but I've never been a kicker. So I don't know what it means when the game's on the line and you got a 40-yard field goal and you're supposed to make it and you don't make it. The whole team, you know, everybody looks at you. The fans look at you. Well, hey, that's my job. I should make it. I'm the kicker.
Were you a good punter?
I was a pretty good punter. In college, I averaged about 42 yards a punt.
What's that?
That's pretty good, yeah.
When was the last time you punted?
I punted when I came to the Bears. We punted a little bit. I punted in a couple preseason games, but we had a punter with the Bears at that time by the name of Bobby Joe Green. I don't know if you remember him.
Sure.
Might have been one of the greatest punters in the history of the league. So my punting career with the Bears lasted about 2 weeks. And then, after they lined me up beside Bobby Joe, I said, "Okay, that's over." Billy Joe, rather.
What if I tossed you a football Thursday and said, "Punt it"? What would you say to me that you could say on the radio?
My leg wouldn't go up that high. My leg would not go that high. I would try, but I don't think it would go very far. My golf shots don't go very far either.
Coach, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Best to your wife and family.
God bless you guys. Have a great meal. God bless you. Take care.
There you go. Thanks, and to you. We'll get to the news next. And CLTV, too, on 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
I don't know what it is, but I just like it when the Blackhawks beat anybody, but in particular, the Penguins. It wasn't 10-1, but it was 2-1 and held on late. It was good to see Corey Crawford standing on his head again and all those things. Can you believe it's been 10 years?
No.
Since the resurgence began? Unbelievable. Let me get John McDonough in here. The boss, the head honcho, the head cheese, the guru. Good morning, Mr. McDonough.
Good morning, Steve Cochran. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, thank you. Same to you. How's Abigail?
Abigail's fantastic. How are yours?
Mine. Riley's doing great. Saw her last night. All good.
I thought you, it's, why did I think you had two now?
Well, there's another one coming.
That's a little baby boy
in April. So very excited for
it's the best.
My son Ryan and his wife Katie.
Isn't it ridiculous? You get around them and you're just happier.
Yeah, I mean, they fulfill your life and it puts things in perspective and they want to be around you. It's pretty exciting. Can't say that about too many people, Steve.
No, I was going to say, if there's ever a day, and I'm not sure there's ever been one, but if there's ever a day you're cranky at work, does the staff bring the grandbaby in just to cheer you up?
You know, she's been there a couple times, and it does. It brightens my day.
There you go.
You know, you get to the point in your career, and maybe I've gotten there, Steve, where it's been nice to be here 10 years and 24 with the Cubs. People start asking you, how much longer you want to do this?
Go, I didn't know the clock was running.
Steve, what does that mean?
I could ask the same thing.
Sponsored by MB Financial Bank, it's Breakfast with the Blackhawk. I remember when you made the move to the Hawks, I think I have this story right. You didn't have a desk when you walked in.
I had a slab. That's it. I had a slab, no drawers, but it was gradual. Like if you had a good first week, they gave you drawers, but no, they gave me everything. That part was true. It was a very nice office, and ultimately I got drawers.
Right, but when you first came in, no desk, no phone. I think they had to wire a phone up for you. My point of the story is you literally started from scratch and rebuilding this thing with all the great people around you. And I hope occasionally you take a chance to look back and go, it's not just the three cups, it's the whole ride.
It is, and it's about the people. And, you know, so much of the credit for this goes to Rocky Wirtz, and took kind of a gamble hiring a baseball guy to run a hockey operation. But, you know, we've made some good decisions on personnel, certainly with Jay Blunk coming from the Cubs and Joel and Stan and Al McIsaac and so many others. But it's been a good run. You know, we think there's a lot left. Part of this is, you know, we feel that the engine's just getting warm. But very, very fortunate. And you know this, Steve. You talk about it all the time, how fortunate we are to have the great people around us that make us look good.
Can you imagine if we had to do real work? Holy
no kidding. John, I remember being at your introductory news conference a decade ago, and you talked about having been in the second balcony at Chicago Stadium cheering on the Blackhawks. You acknowledged you were a Blackhawks fan, but not necessarily, what would the term be, a hockey savant? And you needed to learn the game, and you were going to be a sponge with the hockey operations people. How much would you say you've learned over the past decade?
The hockey guys would probably say not much. I would say that I've absorbed a good amount. Do a lot of listening and ask a lot of questions and, you know, observed. It's very tricky. You've got to be careful. You make suggestions, but primarily all personnel decisions are theirs. But I love the game. I love that the game has transitioned into a speed and skill game. You know, years ago, 10 years ago, Dave, it was a more physical game. It was a heavier game. But, you know, I love it. And, you know, try to spend a lot of time on NHL.com. I'm sure that's a surprise to many people at work and the NHL network. But try to get as much information as I possibly can, yet follow all the other sports as well. And especially, Dave, I'm thrilled to see what's going on in Evanston. Congratulations. Good for you. Good for Jim Phillips. Good for Coach Fitz. Good for Coach Collins. President Shapiro.
It's a good time.
It's good to have. It's great. Good for WGN Radio.
Thank you.
Yes, and did you notice yesterday a guy that we both know, Andy Mazur, does the basketball game, and they get beat unexpectedly badly. So, John, we're blaming Mazur.
Yeah, it could be Andy's fault. That's not the first time that I've blamed Andy for something, as I'm sure he'll be the first one to tell you. But, no, it's a good relationship. I know I speak to Jim Phillips pretty regularly, and we're both thrilled to be on GN.
Thank you for that. 10 years with the Hawks and a burgeoning, growing every year relationship with Notre Dame. For fans that might have missed it, tell everybody the announcement you guys made Friday.
We will be playing the Boston Bruins at Notre Dame on January 1st, New Year's Day, 2019. Some have said we have gotten to the point where we've played more outdoor games than indoor games. But it's great that the league thinks enough of us to participate in these games. We're 1-4. We need to do better at that. But, you know, playing Boston, they certainly have a heavy Notre Dame influence in Boston, as they do in Chicago. So we think it's going to be great demand for those tickets.
No
it's
doubt.
A spotlight event. And, you know, Steve, we could kind of rewind a little bit. I think the first outdoor game that we played at Wrigley Field really was kind of the lightning bolt that people started to really pay attention to the Blackhawks. I mean, people looked at that game. They never imagined that a hockey game would be played at Wrigley Field, let alone on New Year's Day on national TV.
Right.
And I think that really helped catapult us into the national spotlight and put a lot of attention on the Blackhawks.
And I would remind you, although I know you know this, John McDonough, Dave, do you know the one game the Hawks have won of their five outdoor games? Because we were all there.
I was doing a game in Lincoln, Nebraska, and you guys were at Soldier Field in a snowstorm and beating the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's right. Beat the Penguins again, as happened Saturday night. Again, did I mention how much I enjoy it when the Blackhawks beat the Penguins?
That was one of the funnest games, though.
Yeah,
the snow just kept coming down.
Watched the snow pile up on the hats of people in front of us. It was a blizzard.
It really was. You meet Kevin Ross, and then there was a guy named Jimmy DeCastro. Remember?
I don't know what happened to him.
Standing up on the bleachers.
Yeah, whatever happened to him.
Remember, he was going, let's get on TV.
I wonder if he's still in show business. I hadn't heard.
Andre, if they could have said, you know, Central Casting, we're going to have an outdoor game, and this is going to be the backdrop.
Right?
Yeah.
The way it snowed, it was just perfect. Yeah. And the game was played under pretty good conditions, but boy, it was heavy snow, you know, right on the lakefront, but a good result.
I have never let your friend and mine, Marlene Wells, forget it. And by the way, she just celebrated her 50th anniversary. You guys were nice enough to be a part of that. But we had tents. There were vendors that were set up outside, right?
Right.
Attractions and things. And we had tents set up. And Marlene claims it wasn't her idea. But our tent was set up facing the lake with the wind coming off the lake. I believe I just thought out yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a pile of snow right in front of the microphone.
Crazy cold. We have a listener question for you. It says, since it's breakfast with a Blackhawk, the question must be asked. John, what's your favorite breakfast? And you got a fast food place you hit for breakfast.
My favorite breakfast every morning, Steve, I have some yogurt and raisins, and that's probably about it. Maybe a bagel from time to time. Not really have a favorite breakfast place. I don't really stop for breakfast. You know, there's a number of places in the West Loop if you get down there early enough, but not really a favorite one.
Yes, Dave, you'd like to follow up.
To a heck of a good question.
You'd like to follow up with a quinoa or kale?
No, I wasn't actually. I was going to change gears. If you want to follow up about the breakfast, you go ahead.
No, I have something else. Questions. Go ahead.
John, hearing your players raving about the MB Arena, the new practice facility, the community ice rink. Coach Q was on with us last week talking about how this is far and away the best facility anyone in the league has. To see this come to fruition, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's exciting because the bar is very high at our place. This started with a discussion that Rocky and I had about 2 years ago, and I think the first thought was to build a single sheet facility primarily for the players, and then if possibly there was time for the community. But Rocky had the vision that he wanted to make this not only a practice facility for the Blackhawks, and he wanted to make this for the community as well and give teams an opportunity. The Mission, it's the home of the Chicago Mission, a youth hockey league. We have open skates, we have youth leagues, we have adults league, we have men's leagues, we have women's leagues. So it was a great idea. It's a state-of-the-art, beautiful palace. And, you know, the credit to the vision of all that goes to Rocky. But a lot of people worked hard on it. Al McIsaac, Stan Bowman, Mark Bernard, Andrea Hahn, who runs the facility from a day-to-day standpoint. So it's only been open about a week or so, but so far so good. The reviews have been incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. Andre?
John, I just bought a new pair of ice skates after years of renting them. Do you think Jay could sharpen them for me, or where would you recommend that I get them sharpened?
Yeah, Jay Blunk has a skate sharpening business he does on the side.
No, Troy Parchment, our equipment guy, could get that done.
Awesome.
Jay's very limited, period. Very, very, very narrow, limited ability. Skate sharpening is not one of them.
Okay.
But I can get those done for you, and I'd love to have you out on the ice.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Did you actually skate before, Andrea?
Oh yeah, I used to skate as a kid. I don't know how it would look. I don't know how it would look now.
Well, we'll find out.
It would be a pretty sight.
Because it'll be viral video soon.
Exactly.
Hey, before I let you go, for the holidays, you got Thanksgiving this week. You got the Christmas holiday coming up. I usually see you over the holidays, but I want to make sure I wish you and the whole extended McDonough family a happy Thanksgiving. Is it a big big one coming up?
Yeah, it'll be a big family celebration. It'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We have some games over the holidays, but no, it'll be great. Good time with the kids and granddaughter and friends, family. Be terrific. So we look forward to it.
We got to get the kids together. We got to get Abigail and Riley together.
A play
Riley,
date.
Yeah, that would be fun. Abigail's 2.5. Steve, would that be right?
No, she's almost 2. It'll be 2
almost
next month.
Almost 2. Okay.
Yep.
Riley's a little over 2. Yep. That'd be fun. Yeah. I'd enjoy that.
Imagine the trouble Riley could teach Abigail, huh? Mm-hmm.
Or vice
Maybe
versa.
The other way around.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
You never know.
You trying to get her married into the McDonough family? Is
well,
that
you never know. Listen, yeah, or vice versa. Happy anniversary. We love what you guys have done with this team. And, you know, Rocky and you at the top. Well, listen, just thanks, I guess, would be the word. So happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Steve. Same to you. And good talk to all you. Bye.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hoyer, end zone, Meredith for the touchdown.
Chuck it up into the end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown. Holy cow, Cameron Meredith.
All receivers out. Connor Shaw moving by his time. Throws back. Cameron Meredith. Touchdown. Three times on this drive, Cam Meredith has been making things happen.
Ask me how much we miss him. Holy mackerel. Cam Meredith live in studio. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
How's that wheel? How's that knee?
It's doing a lot better.
Yeah?
It's come a long way since I went down, so that's all that matters.
What's the rehab schedule? About the same?
It's a pretty long day. I get up early in the morning and get a light rehab in the morning, work out, and then I'll go back and get another aggressive therapy. So I try to do as much as possible every day just to make sure I'm slowly progressing.
Now, I'm confident you're going to be back for camp next year. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, for camp, yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
You know, I'm striving to get back a little bit before then, but, you know, just got to go with the time and see what happens.
If you can skip OTAs, skip OTAs. Dave, say hi to Cam.
Hey, Cam, good morning. How tough has this been for you to watch the Bears really struggling at times and again yesterday and needing a few more big plays here and there, and you were a guy capable of making some plays for them?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm getting so tired of saying we should have did this, we should have did that, or, you know, we should have won. But, you know, we got so many close games that we should have won, like I said. But, you know, it's just hard to, you know, see us go out there and drop some of those games and, you know, not make the plays when they're there. So, you know, it doesn't go back just to this season, but the year before, even when I was there. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's hard just even to just be out of the sport, period.
Well, we need to hear something good about Coach Fox. Tell me from a player's perspective something that you appreciate about Coach Fox.
I appreciate a lot of things about Coach Fox. You know, he has so many short slogans and mottos that, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. One of my favorite ones is, it's simple, but it ain't easy. You know, I kind of apply that to almost everything in life. It really is. So, you know, he tries to relate to his players a lot, and, you know, he's a good guy. So, you know, I enjoy playing for him.
You've got a long road ahead in the NFL. The NFL this year has been weird. You got the Eagles coming out of nowhere, running away with it. The Vikings are way better than we expected. I think it was Hamp this morning that said, okay, quick, name the quarterback. Or was it Ditka?
No, it was, yeah.
It was Ditka.
Case Keenum.
Yeah, but you can do it, but you're in the business. The average football fan, maybe not.
Yeah.
So guys like you are more important than ever.
I mean, especially in this division, because it's so wide open. Every year it's a competition. You know, usually the Packers are up there. You know, I hate saying that, but.
Was there a part of you when Aaron Rodgers went down and go, well, I don't want him to be hurt, but I'm glad he's hurt? Was there a part of you? Come on, Cam.
No, because I was hurt before he got hurt.
Oh, good point.
And before I got hurt,
you know what? That is knee karma. You don't want that, right?
Yeah, I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
Not one person.
So what are you thinking when you're watching? It's fourth and 13.
Yeah, it was something long.
And watching Mitch run for that first
down. That was cool.
Yeah, it was a good time seeing him actually go out there and just play ball. I feel like he's finally getting comfortable just being himself, and, you know, that's
he's got stones for a rookie, doesn't he?
Yeah, you got
that's a technical NFL term, Andreas Stones.
No, he's definitely a gutsy quarterback, and he's going to take some chances.
Yeah, that's cool. Andreas, say hi to Cam.
Cam, I think it's awesome that you're here.
What's that?
What was I going to ask you? Well, I was going to ask you about Mitch, too.
Yeah. Do you want to know about his brand new beverage that he's talking about?
I want to know about that, and then I want to talk about what he's doing this week, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Mercy Home. It's a wonderful organization, and you're very involved with them, and mm-hmm. you guys are going to be serving up some Thanksgiving dinner this week.
Yeah. It's the holiday season, kind of the giving season. So, you know, I partnered with Cray, their organic sports drink, and you know, it's a little bit something different. You know, I partner with them, and I love their product. I love their drink. I love the people. So we're going to, you know, team up and go to Mercy Home mm-hmm. tomorrow and give back some toys, some equipment, hand out some food. You know, be some more Bears players there. So it's going to be a good time, and I'm sure the kids will have a good time, too.
You're a lucky guy, and it's good that you recognize that. So why not pay it forward and take care of some of these kids?
Yeah, you got to pay it forward.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I was a Cray man before you.
Oh.
This started in 2015, and they were serving it at my golf course.
Okay.
And I said, well, what do I need of this? I love it. I love the orange. I love the fruit punch.
Oh.
I'm not so wild on the berry, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the berry.
I like the lemon.
You got the lemon? No, the lemon, not so much for me.
Nobody likes the lemon.
You like the fruit punch?
That's my favorite. I like lemon.
You're lemon. Well, more lemon for you then.
Yeah, more lemon for me.
Right?
That's okay.
But you can get this in a lot of places now. Distribution getting better every day. But if I have this right, didn't this start here?
What's that?
Cray? Didn't Cray start here?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, just a couple of years ago. So pretty good impact right out of the gate.
Mariano's, mm-hmm. Whole Foods.
So there you go. So, yeah. Pick it up. I think you're going to like it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Steve.
Well, I was going to follow up on the Thanksgiving, on helping to feed and give back, as mm-hmm. you talk about. And being a Chicago guy yourself who went on and play at Illinois State down the road, and I know if Kevin were here, he'd say fear of the bird. That's not really my thing to say. But
fear of the bird.
Okay. Birds.
But as a local guy, how important is it for you to give back to Chicago?
It's very important just because, you know, I just believe in that as a person, you should be giving back to somebody at least. So, you know, the opportunity to be in my hometown and do it, it's even more special.
And it's kind of a dream story for you. I mean, you are a local guy. You end up playing for the Bears. You and become an important player for the Bears, for your hometown team.
Yeah,
I mean, you sometimes think about it and say, man, this has been kind of an interesting ride.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get lost in it and you get, you know, you're in the moment. But, you know, sometimes I'll sit back and it creeps up on you like, man, you know, this is real.
You seem pretty grounded, though. You seem like you're pretty normal.
Yeah, I try to be.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm watching you, man. Cray is doing something pretty cool, too. Cray for Play, an initiative to make sure kids have access to sports activities and the right equipment, too. The equipment's mm-hmm. a big deal.
Yeah, especially during this time of year. It's getting cold and, you know, some
got to move it indoors.
Yeah, a lot of kids don't even have, you know, the right cleats this time of year and stuff like that. So whatever helps.
You can go to drinkcray.com for information on Cray for Play as well. How do we follow you on social media or wherever we follow you? What are we doing?
Well, I have an Instagram, CamIAm81, and then my Twitter is the same.
CamIAm81.
Yes.
Look at you.
CamIAm81.
It's good to be Cam Meredith.
It is. And then Snapchat, I do that a little bit too, so it's kind of a little difficult to say on the radio, so I'll leave that.
Oh, is that one of the
difficult? It's difficult.
We'll find you.
I appreciate the respect for the show. So, and one more. What did we miss? What did we miss? Yell it out.
CamMeredith.com.
Oh, your website.
Yeah,
okay. Plug your website, Mr.
Yeah.
Modest.
Yeah. CamMeredith.com. I'm sorry. Didn't even see the Cam I Am hats and all where that started and stuff. So you can keep up with me on there, too. So.
And happy birthday, Beth, who's working on her birthday.
Don't forget Beth.
Came in today. There you go. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you guys.
You're
thanks
welcome
to
come
me
by here anytime, and thanks
really
for doing
thank
Mercy Homes and all that. Yeah, it's good, but not a bad office, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not so bad. We'll take a break, come back on 720 WGN.